This is Optimus Prime. You are watching fat guys at the movies. Why aren't they jogging?
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and we are the fat guys at the movies. And Kevin, we got a huge show today.
Well, you heard that. We had Optimus Prime leading the show off. That's awesome.
Optimus Prime.
Himself. We got him all the way from the Autobot factory to give us a call.
Which is very awesome.
If you want to hear more of Peter Cullen, you can go to our internet site and listen to it. If you're listening to this on the radio, you can listen to our internet-exclusive Lost episode 19.
Yes, and episode 19.
Today, we're doing episode 20.
Which and on episode 20, we will be transforming Kevin into a Michael Bay fan, hopefully. We will also be gushing over things that blow up in movies. And we'll continue our week of celebrities galore. Been a pretty good week.
Quite a few interviews.
We're going to talk to Janine Garofalo. We're going to talk to Patton Oswalt. We're going to talk to John Ratzenberger, all from the movie Ratatouille.
That's right.
To add to from the last episode, Peter Cullen, John Voight.
We'll also be doing a quick review of License to Wed.
Yes, we'll also be talking about License to Wed, which came out over the July 4th holiday.
This is sort of an odd week because
very weird week.
All the movies opened early. Actually opened, well, Transformers opened Monday night. Technically it was Tuesday, but opened Monday night with paid sneaks.
Right.
So really this sort of leading you into the weekend show doesn't have a whole lot of new stuff to it. I mean,
there's nothing that comes out
on Friday.
It's kind
of old news. You know? So we're going to rehash stuff, but if you didn't listen to the episode, the internet exclusive, you can listen to this. We'll go over Transformers again. We'll have another SmackDown about that.
Can't wait.
Before we move on to that, let's talk about how to get a hold of us.
Yeah, if you want to get a hold of us, you can catch us online at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also get us at the iTunes store. If you just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys at the Movies, our lovely picture pops right up, and you just click on that. All good. You can also get us at dig.com and Podcast Alley. But if you don't want to do any of that, you can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can give us a call, area code 614-388-8735, and I will warn you, if you call us, we may put you on the air.
That's right. And that's 388-TREK. For your fans out there, it does not spell 388 Transformers. That's really not a actual phone number.
But if we could get that, I assure you I would have gotten it already.
It would have happened. Well, all you need is a TRAN, and then the rest, people could just dial away, and it would, I guess it means nothing.
Right. But then our phone number would be 388-TRAN.
Well, yeah, which I'm sure is actually taken from some other video.
Very inappropriate.
So we won't go on there anymore. So anyways, let's move on. Let's first talk License to Wed, because we'll talk a little, the whole show is a lot about Transformers, because we have some interesting things to talk about in terms of its box office and how it did during its opening days and that sort of thing. But before we do that, we want to hit the biggest movie of the summer.
License to Wed.
It's
Mandy Moore.
It's Mandy Moore, because you know, she's been nothing but a string of hits since Princess Diaries. Go ahead and play us a clip, Neil.
Someone once said, marriage is bliss. But that someone probably wasn't married.
I just want to know if you would spend the rest of your life with me.
That's where I come in. Rule number one, no sex until the honeymoon.
No sex? That's supposed to happen after you get married.
Now the real fun begins.
Congratulations, you've just had twins.
Little creepy robot baby.
Oh my God.
Stop it!
Stop!
Quality flick. I'll tell you, this was very carefully chosen to not just be a trailer of the movie, but a review as well, actually. But before we move into just completely tearing this movie apart, if you are one of those License to Wed fans, you can go to 7mpictures.com and win a poster. Yes.
Well, I mean, I like Mandy Moore. She looks good on a poster. She can go on my
cute.
Wall.
And it's got Christine Taylor, who's hot in there too.
Yeah. I know you're a big fan.
I like Christine Taylor. Ben Stiller, look out, man.
Yeah, Kevin Carr is coming after
your wife. The sexy man is coming for your wife.
So what did you think? You're the only one who saw this one.
In the country, apparently.
We had a little debacle at our screening. The print never showed up.
That's right. So. I thought it was God protecting the critics from the...
I don't know. It was some kind of intervention. But you did go and see it.
Yeah, I took my wife on a date to see it.
Nice.
And, you know, it's getting creamed in the reviews. It really is. And I'm not saying that the reviews are unfair to the movie, because it's not a good movie. It's the characters are really kind of falling apart. They don't quite do things that characters are. And it's written... When you do a romantic comedy from a guy's perspective, it's very difficult because romantic comedies are really geared towards women, obviously.
Go figure.
And the character of Mandy Moore is very shallow and sporadic and random, and it's not really a good character for her. It's John Krasinski. Is that how you say his name?
Jim Halpert from The Office, for all those Office fans
out there.
He's
good in it. He's funny. And actually, everybody involved is good in the film. It's just there's not much there to work with. But there is a lot of heart. I'll tell you, if you could do worse in romantic comedies, like Because I Said So, Mandy Moore's other.
Oh, yeah, every other movie. Romantic comedy that's come out this year so far.
Holy cow. No, Music and Lyrics was cute. I like Music and Lyrics a lot. But
Hot Fuzz was a better romantic comedy than Music and Lyrics.
Oh, for crying out loud. I'm sure Transformers was a better romantic comedy.
Actually, it kind of was.
Yeah, it was a comedy.
We're not talking about that
till
later.
They tried to do a romance in it. But anyways... License to Wed is not a good film. It's Robin Williams horribly miscast as this kind of reverend out of control. And he just kind of goes from being the character into a shtick. It doesn't quite always work that well, but the guy to watch in this movie is the little kid, Josh Flitter.
Yeah, kid from Nancy Drew.
He was in Nancy Drew, and he was in The Greatest Game Ever Played. This kid steals the show in every scene he's in that I've seen in every movie he's ever been in.
Right.
And it's one thing to steal the show from Shia LaBeouf.
Right.
Excuse me.
Like or to steal Optimus the show, Prime did.
Well, yeah. Or to steal the show from Emma Roberts.
Right.
Those aren't hard people to steal the show, but he steals the show from Robin Williams. This kid needs
a gravitas, movie. As John Voight would call
exactly.
it.
Exactly. This kid needs a movie of his own. And he's a great little comedian. He's hilarious. That's the best part of the movie.
Okay.
You know.
So.
It kind of sucked. I mean, and the only reason it was kind of sucked.
So it wasn't a full-on suck.
No, it wasn't a full-on suck because it does have it has a certain amount of heart. I mean, it's terribly written, but it's still sort of, it has a sweetness behind it. And there's a likability to Krasinski and Mandy Moore. I mean, Mandy Moore's good as in terms of that sort of iconic romantic comedy lead. I just don't think she's been given much to work with. I mean, because right. I Said So and American Dreams and, you know, this thing now.
Yeah, she's not a bad actress. She's just...
Yeah, she's not bad, but just in these movies. Well. When your best movie is, like, Chasing Liberty, it's probably not a good thing. I mean, in terms of romantic comedies.
Yep. I don't know. I still may go see it, though.
Yeah, it kind of sucked, but it could have been worse. But we got to move on, and we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to review Transformers and throw in a couple interviews. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. After License to Wed got our big focus, what's the next one? What was the other movie that opens with? Can I forget?
Big, huge robots blowing stuff up.
Yeah, robots blowing stuff up. Transformers. Here's a clip. Let's play this one.
It's a robot. You know, like a super advanced robot. It's probably Japanese.
Now, I have to say, Kevin, that was a perfect choice of a clip. Not a whole lot of talking, just sounds of really cool transformings.
Yeah, I specifically took out all dialogue, and I said the best parts of the movies are when the robots are blowing things up. And that's when they're transforming, when they're blowing things up, when they're running around and jumping off freeways and stabbing people in the head or other robots in the head.
Right.
That's when...
They don't stab any people in the head.
Nobody gets stabbed in the head. Everyone gets shot off screen, actually, in this movie, especially that cute blonde by the Mountain Dew machine. But
that's disappointing.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, we all know what you thought. It was like having a baby for you.
Yeah, the other thing I liked about that clip is that it had the sound of the transforming. If you're a big Transformers fan from back in the day, you'll recognize that sound, and it's there. And that's one of the great things about this movie is I think it stayed very true to the essence of the cartoon. Not necessarily, you know, obviously Optimus Prime didn't have, you know, flames on him in the cartoon, but I thought
it's Michael
Bay. It captured the point.
Yeah. Well, and almost, and my complaints on certain things are go back to that simply because they tied it so close to the old cartoon. It was very cartoony at parts.
It was goofy.
Yeah. There's one scene in the middle where they're looking for something
in the house.
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf's
room. Yeah, everybody's complaining about the house scene.
It gets a little goofy. And I saw it a second time. I saw it on 4th of July. I took my kids. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty cool. I mean, I have to admit, it was a cool movie to see. But even watching it, I said, yeah, they could have cut this out. I think if they would have cut out some of the more extraneous
movie. Yeah. That's one of the things you have to remember. It's a long movie. It's 2 hours and 23 minutes. But it is definitely worth seeing. And I think it has that great effect that all great summer blockbusters had. And I know in my review, we talked about this in the last episode, I equated it to seeing Jurassic Park when I was 10 years old. I have a funny story. The second time I went to see it the other day, I took my friend and I was waiting for him to come out of the bathroom so we could leave after the movie. And this little kid walked out and walked up to his dad, and his dad said, "Oh, what'd you think?" And the little kid said, "That was the best movie I've ever seen in my life."
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the point. That is the point of a movie like this. Michael Bay said it himself in one of the junkets. He said, "It's Transformers. You can't take it that seriously. This movie's not going to win any Oscars, but I tell you what, if you take your kids to see it, it's going to be the best movie they've ever seen. And if you take yourself to see it, hopefully, you're going to enjoy it. You will not be disappointed." That's what I've been telling people. I don't know, you may not love it like I did, but you will not be disappointed. You will not feel like your time was wasted.
Well, I have to say, Neil, I'm actually going to give you a little bit of props here, because I went online this week, especially after it opened, and like everybody got a chance to throw their hat in the ring.
Gushed and, all over it.
Oh my gosh, the internet fanboys were just almost uncontrollable.
Yes.
And the general consensus of these reviews was, "Oh my God, it's the greatest movie of the world. It's better than anything I've ever experienced in my life. And if you don't like it, I'm going to beat you up." It's basically, that's what most of the reviews...
Pretty sure one of them actually said that.
Yeah, most of the reviews are saying that. And I know you came at it as a fanboy, as somebody who was a kid, and I thought your Jurassic Park analogy was great, not just because Jurassic Park did something that you've never seen before, but also Jurassic Park doesn't have that great of a story, and the characters are crummy, and the acting's terrible. I mean, Laura Dern's a great actress, just not in this movie.
Not in that movie.
So, but it was a summer experience. So you came towards it as this is what it is, and I know I'm being completely biased and silly about it, but that's okay. As opposed to people who are like,
it is not even going to come close to winning any Oscars. But this is why we go to the movies during the summer, to see big, cool robots blowing stuff up like that.
Yeah, so. And I thought on that level it worked. I mean, I'm going to say go see it. Go see the movie and see it on the big screen, because this is not going to work on DVD. I mean, unless you've got like one of those like 97-inch plasma TVs that you can sit right next to.
Right, and a Blu-ray player that shows every little detail. I mean, it'll look
surround
cool, but
sound, it might be cool. But
this
still,
is a movie you have to see in theaters.
And see it digital projection, because we saw it
in
a press screening in digital projection, and that was cool.
Yes.
It looked really, really cool. Good. You didn't have the gate weave or the bumbling or the
tonight scratches. I'm going to see it on a THX theater.
Ooh.
It's going to be even better.
Yeah, your ears are going to bleed. When next time.
I hope so.
Next week, Neil will be deaf.
Yes, cool. Awesome.
But that's Transformers. Go see it. Check it out. It was a good movie. I say it rocked.
I definitely say it rocked. It rocks times 20.
Rocked, right,
so.
Yeah. A++, you know. Let's move on to some interviews we did. Ratatouille opened last week, actually. But
we both loved Ratatouille as well.
I liked Ratatouille. It was a good film. Now, what's interesting is it didn't do as well as other Pixar movies in the past, but I think they were expecting that.
Right.
But they did some press, and because they were desperate for some press, they let us interview some people.
Yes.
So here's some clip. We're going to just run through these really quick. This is John Ratzenberger talking about the fact that he's sort of the Pixar lucky charm. He's been in, like, everything. And this is what he has to say about working so much with Pixar.
They work hard at the story. If the story's not right, they won't make it. It's just the passion and the care that they take. And I just love working with them. I'd trim the hedges up with Pixar if they asked me to.
I actually think he is trimming the hedges.
They did get the new maintenance guy.
He bumped him out. They bumped him out of WALL-E, which is their next movie. He's there trimming hedges, and then he'll be back for the next movie.
Okay, cool.
But another one, he just played Mustafa the waiter, but
he's been in every Pixar movie, right?
Every single Pixar movie they've made. And he did, and then the one who hasn't been in every Pixar movie is Janine Garofalo.
Yes.
Who plays the love
interest.
She's
been in a lot of other ones.
Yeah, and she plays the female love interest in this, and this is her kind of giving her a little bit of spin on this, simply because it's not just a movie for little kids.
It's not the type of movie that is just there to be absorbed on a weekend as an escapist waste of time. It's a fairly sophisticated story. It can be enjoyed on every level, but it's not an easy film. It's not a blow off film.
And I guess sort of she's saying it's not Transformers,
right? And I'll agree with her on that. It's a very mature animated flick, which is what I really liked about it. It was very intelligent.
Yeah. So. And but of course the lead was Patton Oswalt as Remy the Rat.
We got him too.
Yes. And this is him talking about what it's like working with Brad Bird.
It's beyond anything I can describe. You are close up with a genius. You're watching a genius put things together. It would be like watching Jimi Hendrix play. And I just sort of hung back and watched it happen rather than try to get my big peanut butter fingerprints all over it.
And he didn't get his peanut butter fingerprints on it. He was very...
very good. Probably very the finessed. Best performance you'll ever get out of Patton Oswalt.
Very finessed in the movie. But we got to actually take another break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about the box office and how Transformers did and what it means for the future and all that good stuff for the summer movie SmackDown season.
Flowers lonely. Burn out slowly like a cigarette. Would you kiss me?
And we're back here at Fat Guys at the Movies. And a little bit of a preview for the second half of the show. We're going to look at some box office. We're going to do our top 10 most awesome explosions in movie history. And then we're gonna talk about your new project.
Yes, we've got another podcast coming your way.
Oh yeah,
has nothing to do with anything that Neil's interested in. In fact, I think Neil.
Well, I like food though.
It turns your stomach a little bit. It's a new podcast called Eat Cast. Kevin Carr's Eat Cast.
Yes,
which is basically this week in Major League Eating. I don't use Major League Eating because I don't own a trademark for that. I don't want to name the podcast that just in case.
Right.
The folks over at MLE get a little mad, but it's just for those who want to know what this is about. This is not about all eating contests because there's so many and all these different levels. I'm just going to kind of focus on those, that sort of top tier Major League Eating, IFOCE type titles, Kobayashi, Joey Chestnut, and all
right,
that.
And I will be your special guest who will probably puke 3 or 4 times during the show.
And we'll also have weekly reports from beautiful Brian Sykin, one of the premier reporters for competitive eating.
Nice. More guests. I like it.
Yes. The media empire is growing.
Yes, the Kevin Carr is growing. That's scary.
I am growing. No, actually, I should be losing weight. Yes. Anyways, but that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk a little bit about Transformers, the box office. We'll be coming back, and we're also going to be having some more interviews, not this week, but later on.
Ooh, big announcement. We got to save it till the end, though.
We'll save it at the end. We'll give that to you, but hopefully it'll actually happen because it was a delayed once already. But we're going to go to a break here. When we come back, Transformers, box office, money, will it make the $350 million that everyone's predicting? Stay tuned. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are talking Transformers. It's the big Transformers week. We've completely forgotten about License to Wed.
I don't know how.
I don't know how, because it's just ripping up the box office. But we are talking Transformers. Let's first talk a little bit of box office here and how it did since it opened on Monday night. Let's look at the numbers.
Yeah, it opened on Monday. It opened to $8.8 million on Monday, which is pretty good,
not
considering
bad.
It was only, the first showing was at 8 o'clock at night. They probably only got 3 or 4 showings in that evening. But its Tuesday estimate, pretty large, $27.5 million, which makes it the highest Tuesday opening ever, just squeaking out Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, which was at $15 million. So it wasn't even close.
Well, but no, okay. Now I'm gonna kind of wee on your cornflakes here a little bit, because I'm gonna talk. These are good numbers. These are definitely good numbers. They're nothing to be ashamed of. Michael Bay, you don't need to cry. But let's look at the numbers for Monday. It's 8.8 million. The second one to that was Ratatouille at just over 7.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Live Free Die Hard at a little over 4.
Right.
But
it was very spread out.
They were predicting over $10 million for its opening night. Mm-hmm. And it didn't make that. So I think there is a bit, you're getting a bit of that fanboy regression that you had with movies like Snakes on a Plane,
mm-hmm.
where there's so much hype that they're overestimating things. Again, 8.8 million for a Monday night opening is great. Yep. It's not the 10 million. It's also about half of what Pirates did. Pirates did what, 15.7 million on its paid sneak night.
Yeah, what night was that? Yeah.
But I think part of that I've also seen in terms of the analysis that they didn't push Transformers as opening on Monday.
They pushed it as opening on Tuesday.
So the fanboys all went and saw it, but the general awareness was it opens on the 3rd.
Right.
Then that brings us to the 3rd. The early estimates for that were north of 30 million. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah. They were
it's coming in under the expectations, and it's not exceeding them. The expectations are so high.
Yeah, it hasn't been officially announced yet, but safe to say though, after its first 27 hours of release, it's at $36 million.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's doing well.
It's doing very well.
And I think that the other thing to note is it's the highest Tuesday opening, which I think before now was held by
Pirates, Dead Man's Chest.
Was it Pirates? And
yep.
Then it was Night at the Museum. But then beforehand was The Omen.
Yeah.
But I remember when The Omen snagged that title. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like this weird, because Tuesday openings are very odd.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was this weird thing that Omen clinched that title, but it was the only movie opening on a Tuesday as an odd release.
Right.
So, and this sort of just goes into my predictions. When you looked at the early predictions this summer, they were predicting Transformers to be making in the low to mid 200 millions, like 240 million, I think was the final number.
And I predicted it to make $700
billion. $700
billion,
but it's also it's now being forecast as being 330 to 350 million.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to make that. Simply because it's coming in under all these high expectations.
Right.
So,
I think it'll make 300.
I think it'll crack 300. I've said this before. I think what you're going to see at the end of the summer and ultimately at the end of the year, you're going to lay out the top 5 movies of the year, and they're all going to be within $20 million of each other. It's going to be and I don't know, no particular order, but it's going to be Spider-Man, Shrek, Pirates, Harry Potter, and Transformers are all going to be there, and they're all going to have made.
They're going to be very close.
Somewhere between 300 and 350 million.
Yep. I think, though, the advantage of Transformers is this.
Don't
is the,
say it's not a sequel. That's not an advantage.
All right, well, that is one advantage.
It's not an
Thanks
advantage.
For reminding me. It's probably the first movie where I've heard an overwhelming response from people as you're leaving the movie theater and whatnot, that they want to go see it again. No one wanted to go see Spider-Man again because it was terrible. And
I saw Spider-Man
Pirates was too long to go see twice.
No, Pirates was too long.
Very
you're
much
right,
too
you're
long.
You're right, and it did suffer
so,
box office-wise.
I think Transformers has the best chance to do extremely well. It has a chance to do the same business Spider-Man did, I guess,
well,
because
me,
people want to go see it again.
Let me give you a little bit of perspective on this, because it's so hard to judge this stuff, because even though the studios do get a kind of fearful of internet people in terms of holding back screenings and that sort of thing, the internet has a lot of power in terms of hype and buzz. And that's where most of it comes from. No one's hyping a movie off of the newspaper. They're hyping a movie off the internet. That's where the buzz is created. And Hollywood hasn't quite learned how to read that yet and how to translate that into the public, because the fanboys can't propel a movie to stardom, because otherwise Grindhouse would have made $500
million. Yeah, and Snakes on a Plane would have been the number one grossing movie last year.
Yeah, exactly. So I saw Transformers twice. I saw it once in the press screening or the public screening the press attended, and then I saw it again with my family
mm-hmm.
on the 4th of July. Interesting look at perspectives. The fans in the press screen, these are the people who got the tickets early, and they were cheering. They clapped at the end. They were laughing at every single joke. It was the ultimate experience, Michael Bay would have been in the back wetting his pants saying he's
right.
Like,
I'm pretty sure he was.
Declared himself a demigod at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing it in a big theater with a bunch of strangers and just average moviegoers on the 4th of July, I went and saw it perfect time, you know, middle of the afternoon, took my kids, there were kids there, there were adults. There were, you could tell there were fanboys, and there was one guy sitting in front of me in about two or three, a couple rows back, because they were laughing a lot at lines. They were acting like this press screening was.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the audience enjoyed the movie, but they weren't having the, let's just say, sensual, intimate experience that these fanboys
that
were
I
having
did.
With the film, yeah. the one that you okay. had, yeah. So this is one where I think the numbers are just kind of going weird on it because the hype is so huge,
mm-hmm.
but can it live up to that hype? I think it's not quite living up to the hype, but it's still doing well.
Yeah, I think no matter what, time will tell, obviously, but I think it's doing well.
You're like,
it'll
just
be interesting.
Wait.
It'll be interesting Titanic to see when we come and do the exclusive show. At the end of the weekend and see where it's at.
Can I make one more final comment? I didn't put this in my review.
Sure.
I forgot to say this. This is a great line. It's totally cheesy and smarmy and misogynistic. But Megan Fox and Rachel Taylor. But let's just say Megan Fox in this movie.
She's enough reason to go see it twice.
This is a PG-13 movie, and it just came out not too long ago that if you have cigarettes or whatever in a movie, the MPAA is going to rate it R. And I said it's a good thing this didn't get rated R because it was very close because Megan
smoking.
Fox smoking on screen.
Through the whole movie. Love it.
Smoking on screen.
Not literally.
Anyways, box office theater counts.
We don't.
It's the same numbers. Over 4,000 theaters.
Everywhere you turn, it's going to be Transformers.
I think by the end of the weekend, maybe 150 million. It's going to be lucky to get 150 million.
It's over 150 million.
We'll see how it does this weekend. Does.
Pray for bad weather and the nice.
Well, and it's
cities.
One of those things. It's going to be how much did the 4th of July and the early release suck out of the weekend? That's the big question. I think the estimate's like 60 to 70 million for the weekend, which isn't bad. That's very respectable.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
We got to go to a break. When we come back, the top 10 best explosions in movie history.
And we're back, and you are listening to Fat Guys in the Movies, and like we do every week now, we got to have a top 10 list.
That's right, because, you know, why let David Letterman have all the fun?
Exactly. And with the release of Transformers this week, we've got big robots blowing stuff up. So we thought, why not run down our top 10 explosions in movie history,
you could
our favorite.
The 10 most badass explosions.
The 10 most badass explosions. So these are the top 10...
These are our favorites. These are our
favorites,
picks.
Definitely.
Because we know we're going to get flamed. We're going to put this up on the... And people are going to be like, what about the explosion in Annie Hall or whatever?
Yeah, it'll be some movie from the 60s where it was like a, you know, firework or whatever went off.
Yeah.
But...
It'll have been groundbreaking then. But,
yeah.
You know. These are all... A lot of these are contemporary movies, mainly
very
because
recent.
The explosion technology has gotten so much better.
Yes, and I'm just... shaking to see how many times Michael Bay makes the list. I can't wait.
Well, we know. So. Okay, well, you going to start?
Yeah, let's start with number 10. This is the tunnel scene from the first Mission Impossible where he's battling the helicopter.
The helicopter.
On the speeding train.
And it blows up and he goes flying into the camera.
Right, and he ends up with the blade of the helicopter right at his neck.
That's right.
That's one of the most... at the end of that, I was like, ooh, that's cool.
Yes.
I want to see that again.
Oh, so. And this was, of course, we were talking about maybe the Mission Impossible 3 scene where he's blown up against the car, which is cool.
But this one, way better.
Yes.
Way better.
Although I like J.J. Abrams. Yes. All right, number 9. This is kind of a gory one.
Mm-hmm.
The Marines and Forrest Gump. Not when Forrest Gump gets hit in the butt with the bullet, but right before that, when they're under fire and the Marines are next to them and they're saying run or get away and a round hits them and they blow up. I mean, it's just not an explosion. And it's gory and it's actually relatively realistic. And it's shocking. If you haven't seen that, if you don't expect it, you're just like, wow.
I got shot in the butt talks.
Yes. Next for you, number 8. Neil.
Number 8 is the house in Shooter.
Yes.
We love this one.
This is the greatest scene.
I just rewinded it on DVD. When Mark Wahlberg assaults this house, to basically he's trying to just get to talk to somebody, and then the special ops team comes in, and then it's probably just one of the coolest explosions you'll ever see.
And it's awesome. It's a shame if you can get it on high def and get it in a 5.1 surround sound.
Yeah, it was definitely awesome on the big screen.
Yeah, I thought the movie was okay, but then when I saw it on the big screen, I'm like, wow, that just, that's one of the greatest explosions in movie history. Mm-hmm. You're right. Number seven, it seems that I'm getting all the ones where it's just very personal. The people get shot. War of the Worlds, 2005 version, the death ray, because this was such a personal thing. It didn't just zap you and, you know, fry you. It like baked you and you exploded into a cloud of dust.
Yes.
And that was like so incredible to see on screen. Well, I remember seeing that and I was like, whoo, that's harsh, Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, even for Steven Spielberg.
Yes, definitely. Well, yeah, this is not
E.T. He tortured E.T.
That's right. So next, what's number six?
Number six is Michael Bay's first entry onto the list. The prison at Alcatraz in The Rock, as Nicolas Cage in his big slow-mo holding the green smoke gets blown off the island by the F-16s.
Yeah.
And the big score is pounding away.
This is, of course, after the big cable car blowing every car up.
Right, exactly. That one could have made the list too, but I think that's so cool because it's from the bird's eye view and it just explodes.
Yes, very good explosion.
Loved it.
Number five, even though I was not a fan of this movie.
I was.
I thought it was boring, but V for Vendetta, Parliament blowing up. That was,
yeah,
that
with the
was
music
cool.
And the, God, it was so.
Didn't like the movie. Didn't
poetic.
Actually like the scene and how it fit in. I was just like, eh, whatever. You go read my review on 7M Pictures or Rotten Tomatoes if you care. But I have to admit, blowing up Parliament. The only scene that was better was Natalie Portman in a little schoolgirl's outfit.
Yes, or with a shaved head.
I don't care about that.
Anyways.
Or the dance scene in Closer.
Yes. Moving on to number four, somehow I got another Michael Bay movie, which is when France gets destroyed in Armageddon.
That was awesome.
Pretty much the whole of France gets hit by a bunch of meteorites.
What I love about that is they said, you know what, let's just show that we're really serious. Let's wipe out France.
Yes, let's just wipe out the entire
country. That was not a good year, summer for France, because of the same Deep Impact was out that weekend, that summer too, and the tidal wave completely wiped out I'm going to massacre the pronunciation, but the Champs-Élysées or whatever, that thing with the big arch.
Yeah, that thing.
All right.
Nice.
Number three. This is sort of a multi-list part. Los Angeles, New York, Washington, and pretty much the rest of America in Independence Day.
Yes, and it finishes with the White House.
Yeah.
Which, that's the best part, where the White House just gets demolished.
Yeah, and it was such an amazing blowing up scene, because it's like an hour of blowing.
Yeah. it's like one big long explosion.
Keeps going, and that was such an impressive one. I actually saw that the early clip of that at a science fiction marathon once, before the movie ever came out, before anyone knew about it, and it blew people away, no pun intended.
Nice. Number two, once again,
Michael Bay,
the king of blowing stuff up. Michael Bay. This is from this week's release, Transformers. This is how good this movie is. It's already on our top 10 list. The Air Force Base in Qatar, where I can't remember that Transformer's name. What was his name?
The helicopter.
The
guy
helicopter.
Is what I call him.
Just, he transforms. It's the first time you get to see a Transformer, and then he just destroys everything.
Oh, and the best part, I mean, I've always said I don't like Michael Bay in general, and I think he's a hack, but he's great at blowing things up.
Yes,
and
as
this
we can
was
see from this list.
Awesome scene where he's shooting these, like, glowing rounds in the ground that then like had this shockwave to them.
Yes.
That just tore through everything from jumbo jets to Air Force personnel. It was.
Yeah. It. Oh yeah.
It was an amazing, amazing.
I can't wait
scene.
To go see it again.
You're dripping. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with you, but there's something going on that we don't want to. People don't. It's
anyways,
it's
but
disgusting.
That's only number two. We have one
number
more.
Number two. Number one, and I have to say this because as much as you like Michael Bay and as much as he is now a part of your soul.
Yes.
I have to say, I was raised in the 70s and 80s. I was 5 in the summer of 1977 when Star Wars came out. And the Death Star blowing up is the single greatest explosion in movie history, because it may not be as cool as the remastered version where they had the little shockwave ring.
Right.
But to see the Death Star blow up that very first time, it was one of the earliest uses of those kind of special effects. It took everything to the next level. And as a 5-year-old seeing that movie, that was so incredibly awesome.
Yeah.
And even though there's better explosions in future Star Wars movies and future films, this was the original penultimate blowing something up in space.
Yeah, I agree. I would say Michael Bay, in my eyes, has perfected blowing stuff up, but George Lucas is the one that started it.
George Lucas started. There were not as many panning shots in Star Wars.
Yeah, no slow-mos of Megan Fox.
Yeah, there's not as many big-breasted women having robots jumping over them.
If only we could have got a slow-mo 360-degree shot of Carrie Fisher in the bikini thing.
Yeah.
God, that would have been so much better. That's the only way you make Star Wars better.
Could have been. Of course, that was the third one.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to move on. We got to wrap up the show. When we come back, review, wrap up, tease for next week, see what's going on, and some other cool stuff.
And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys the Movies. We're going to take a look at our next episode, or next week, I guess. We've got a couple of great things, and I finally get to do the announcement. We are going to have an interview, pending availability, with Kevin Smith.
Yes.
My personal hero.
Yes. Another fat guy.
Another fat guy.
I'm sure he won't be upset. I mean, I'm fat.
I don't think he'll be offended by us calling him a fat guy. We're all fat guys. We're friends here.
Yeah, it's a brotherhood.
Yes, so we're going to talk to Kevin Smith about Live Free or Die Hard. A movie he's in for a few moments. Yes.
Cholesterol and sugar.
So, and hopefully we'll also get a chance to talk to him about some other stuff that he's got coming up. And then he's just always such a great guy to talk to. He's just the coolest interview.
Not that we've talked to him before.
But. Yeah, I mean, I just think, though, he's got one of the very most laid-back personalities in Hollywood. So we're also going to look at what?
Well, next week, of course, we've got the movies coming out. The big one is, I don't know if you've heard about this series. It's about a wizard. I forget, Harry something.
Little British guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Little British guy who got naked with a horse in the West End theater.
Harry Potter, yeah.
Yes. All right. Harry Potter. It's weird because you got Harry Potter opening, and the only other really big release is Captivity with Alicia
Cuthbert.
Where
Alicia Cuthbert just gets, like...
It's tortured.
Tortured through the whole movie, yeah. Which could be fun.
Well, you know what? It's this year has not been good for torture porn. It's been a bad year for that sort
but
of...
But they need to make actual porn out of it.
Nice. Yes, okay, that's your call, Hollywood. Neil Miller has laid down the gauntlet.
When we say torture porn, we need literal translation.
Yeah, okay, so. Whatever. Anyways.
So, but Harry Potter,
if you look
at
Hostel 2 bombed, Hills Have Eyes 2 bombed, the last sort of that gritty, dirty basement, people getting chopped up while they're alive type thing, that did well was Saw. Because the other ones was Severance and Turistas. All these movies have bombed recently. Even the Texas Chainsaw, The Beginning. So we'll see if Captivity doesn't put the cap on the end of this torture.
Seriously,
stuff.
Hollywood, let's stop this.
Saw 4 is, of course, coming out later this year. We'll see what that bodes well for. But my prediction, if Captivity just tanks hard, which I have a feeling it will.
Yeah, they've already pushed it back. Like 6 times.
Yeah, so. It's not a huge release for any big studio, but my prediction is if it like makes news for how poorly it does, which I kind of think
I'm sure it will.
The read is it might. We'll see what happens to the Saw movies because those might be next on the chopping block, so to speak.
Right. Yeah.
For that sort of thing. Nice. But as we get ready to go, review wrap up. Transformers.
Rocks.
License to Wed. Kind of sucked.
Yeah.
And you...
I may see it over the weekend. We'll see.
See if you want to impress a girl or something.
I don't know.
Like
I don't have any dates lined up.
But that's it. Those are the two movies this week. We've already kind of talked about them before. If you want to hear us more in-depth discussions of Transformers, including John Voight interviews, Peter Cullen interviews, check our internet-exclusive show, Mature Listeners Only, please, because we do get a little bit sailor-ish.
Don't bring
talks.
The kids. Take them to see Transformers instead.
But otherwise, you can catch us at fatguysatthemovies.com. FatGuys@FilmSchoolRejects.com if you want to email us. iTunes Store, write us a review, dig.com, podcastalley.com. And you can call us.
Yeah.
614-388-8735. Until next time, people.
Adios. Sweet.